Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Rothenberg with you on a Saturday morning on 98.7 ESPN. So, I mean, there's a ton going on. You got the Yankees injuries. Steven Matz, horrendous. Duke over North Carolina. Seton Hall to the Big East Finals. Selection Sunday is tomorrow. And even with all those things going on, you'd be foolish, I think, not to lead with the Giants. And the Giants are typically the team in New York that just goes about their business, nothing to see here, please move on, and we'll just wind up doing what we do, and we're not going to be reason for a lot of conversation. Not now. Not now at all. And you know why I'm so frustrated? And we've talked about it a lot. And my birthday, Tuesday, I'm sitting there enjoying this cake to be had. No, I didn't have any cake because I'm on a big diet. But there's cake to be had, and my kids are excited, and my wife is happy, and it's Shangri-La at my house, and it's my birthday. And then I hear my phone, like, ding, 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 ding. Now it's my birthday. So I think, boy, these are very nice people. Everyone's reaching out to wish me a happy birthday. No. You know what it is now? It's a battle of these lunatics to see who can be the first to tell me that Odell has been traded. I'm not going to give satisfaction to the person that it was, but the Giants trade Odell Beckham? I mean, you might have thought there was a chance that this was going to happen, but it kind of comes out of nowhere. Right? You weren't expecting it. It's not like there was a ton of conversation leading up to it. It was a little bit of conjecture. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my immediate reaction is, well, they got fleeced. A middle of the first round pick, a late third, and a good safety. They got fleeced. Now, the more I've thought about the value in return, I think the more comfortable I am with it. But here's my issue. And that is, and you may feel differently, and we're going to open it up and get it to a lot of Giants calls, 800-919-3776. And this is kind of my mission statement on the Giants, and you can tell me if you disagree. I have no confidence in the Giants' decision-making process at this point. None. There's a lot of people that look at Beckham and say, oh, he was such a talent, and what a great player, and how can you move on from that, and he was a star. I don't care about star. I don't care about any of that. I care about winning. That's all I care about. That's all I'm interested in, winning. Is the team going to win games? And if the answer is yes, you could put out, you know, I don't care who you put out there. All I care about is winning. And are they on the path to winning? I mean, if you could tell me right now, listen, Dave, here's the thing. You're missing it. The Giants have a master plan in place. They're going to take the quarterback. They're going to move up. They're going to take Murray or Haskins, and they're going to have a ton of cap money, and they're going to shore up the offensive line and build it around Barkley. And I mean, it doesn't feel like they know. It doesn't feel like. Here's the thing that to me is so frustrating. Every time they make a move, you think, all right, you know what? Here's the thing, guys. They're going to take a step back. Obviously, you're going to move on from Beckham. You don't want to say tank the season, but you're going to have a rough season and you're not going to invest a ton of money in anyone. And okay, you got 12 picks this coming draft and maybe you'd be a little bit better defensively and with a bad year and you get the quarterback and here we go. And then 15 minutes later, you sign Golden Tate to $23 million guaranteed. I mean, what is going on with this organization? It doesn't make sense to me. And this typically has been the organization that you don't have to worry about, that they do the right thing, that there really is very little concern. But it doesn't feel like that now, does it? I mean, you trade away your best player. The GM gave you a whole spiel about this no-holds-barred conversation with Eli Manning, and what was that about? Oh, let's see, Eli. We're going to bring you back. You'll get your $5 million bonus. You'll get your $17 million, you know, or $23 million salary. You're going to get it all. You'll probably be the starting quarterback for the season. But that was a tough conversation, huh? What was that conversation about? Here's what it is. What is going on here? You look at both of these football teams right now, and you know what the truth is? You look at the Jets, you say, hey, there's a plan. You may not even love it. You may not love Greg Williams and Joe Vitt and Adam Gase, but you know what? You can't argue with the fact that there's a plan. The Giants, what's the plan? You don't have a quarterback. What do they say? 9/10 of the law is having possession. 9/10 of being a good football team is having a quarterback. Not only do they not have a quarterback, I don't know that there's a plan to get the quarterback. So I didn't love the Gettleman hire to begin with. And then year one goes on, and I like it less and less. And now he trades Beckham, and now they're going to come back with Eli again. And now everyone that's willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, which is not a ton of people, say, yeah, but here's the thing. They're going to get the quarterback this offseason. They'll get Murray or they'll get Haskins and you'll feel better. Well, you know what? If they did, I would. But I don't trust it anymore. How many times do you have to get the old okey-doke before you say, I don't believe in it? And if they wind up with a Ryan Finley or a Drew Locke or a Daniel Jones, then I'm fully all in convinced that they don't know what's going on here. I want to believe. I had faith. That faith wanes at moments like this. This is not, hey, we're going to have a bad season, strap in and be with us here. This is, we've had a lot of bad seasons, and now it looks like we don't know exactly what we're doing, so strap in and get ready for the ride. I've just been on the ride. The ride was 3 wins. The ride was 5 wins. The ride has been no playoff victories since 2011. That's the ride I've been on. Now it's going to take a turn for the worse. Now I have to go to the depths of what the NFL has to offer. Do you understand how unusual it is to be a bad football team for 3, 4, 5 years? That's very rare. The Browns are capable of doing it. They're out of it now, it looks like. The Jets have had some of that. But to be a bad football team, you know, the Cardinals maybe. I guess the Lions, because they are the Lions. But for the most part, you're not going to be a bad football team, a 3-5-win football team for multiple years. Well, the Giants are on their way to be doing that right now. They're a bad football team. And here's the thing. If they don't take a quarterback, if this draft comes and goes and they don't take the quarterback of the future, then what am I doing this? I'm rooting for wins this season. I want to get to 7 wins. Do I? Do I really care about that? I'm sorry. And it's what I started the whole segment with. I have no faith in what they're doing. And maybe I will take this microphone and turn it on in 18 months and say, you know what? Raise my hands up. You know what? My bad. Gettleman had a great plan. I should have trusted him. Look at this team now. Maybe I will. I'd love to do it. Nothing would make me happier than for the Giants to have a great offseason and whatever the plan is to follow it to a T and be a good team for the next 12 years. Do I believe that right now? No. Am I horrified they traded Odell Beckham? No, I'm not one of those, oh God, how could you trade Beckham? I'm surprised. I don't know that you got enough in return. That to me is the real key. Did you get enough in return for Beckham? I don't know. I don't know that you did. You sign him to a $90 million contract. He plays 12 games. His lasting memory is completely, and don't argue this, by the way, Odell, let's be honest, dogging it on an onside kick. You paid him $20+ million for 12 games. Look at how much money, dead money, the Giants have this year. Now, not all of it is Gettleman's fault. Not all of it. Reese is the Vernon. You move on from Landon Collins. I mean, you tell me, am I wrong? Is it not hard right now to look at the Giants and say, yeah, you know what? I see what they're doing. I'm all in. And if Gettleman is getting direction from ownership of what he's supposed to do, that's even more distressing here. So I don't feel great about it at all. And to sit here, and this is what the Jets had to endure last year, to sit here in March and to know that you're going to get to September, which is what, 6 months away, and your football team's going to stink? It's one big matzo ball hanging out there.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
So, look, tons going on. We're not going to spend the entire time doing the New York football Giants. We'll get into Yankees a little bit. We'll get into the Yankees a little bit. I want to give you my take on them at this moment. The Mets, too. And, you know, we're less than 2 weeks. And this just shows you, it's amazing. If we were less than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL season, we would be wall-to-wall NFL. Wall-to-wall. We are less than 2 weeks away from the start of the Major League Baseball season, and it's there. We discuss it. It's not the number one topic. But the NFL is king, and the Giants are a huge team, and they are making huge moves. Huge moves. I mean, look at the star power that's been traded in this town in the last few months. A 23-year-old burgeoning superstar in KP, and a 25-year-old absolute superstar in OBJ. And I didn't like OBJ all that much, to be honest with you. I loved his game. I thought he was a baby. I did not like a lot of the antics that he pulled. And you know what I figured out? And Ty, let's get your take on this real quickly, and then we'll get to the calls at 800-919-3776. I really feel like the line in the sand with OBJ is like 35 years old. If you're 35 or older, you're like, oh, I don't need the antics. I don't need to peeing like a dog. I don't need the interview. And if you're a kid, certainly, up to about 30 or 35, you really loved him and you're really sorry that he left.
I would tend to agree with that. Though, right? I have noticed a trend this morning where, like, pre-trade, that was absolutely true. But post-trade, a lot of those 35 and under people are now ripping Odell.
Like, well, listen, that then you're a fraud. If you loved Odell and you wanted Odell here and you couldn't imagine a team without Odell and, you know, nothing that he did bothered you and then he leaves and now you rip him, that's not fair, right? At a minimum, just say, I believe in the Giants and I'm hopeful that this is going to work out. And if they want to deal him, that they see that's in their best interest. But now you can't just come out and rip the guy.
And see, that's the rational way of thinking about it, Dave. But I don't think fans who are overly emotional can separate those two things. They can't separate Odell from the plan that the Giants have that they want to believe in.
Yeah, everyone's the fan that I am, Ty.
Yeah, you're a great fan.
Not everyone can bring it at that unbelievable level.
Yeah, not everyone's a talk show host. So it's hard to be Dave.
800-919-3776. Let's start out with Greg in north somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure where. But Greg, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, how you doing? North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. What's up, Greg?
I got my plan to fix the Giant problems. Okay. First, you got to cut Eli immediately.
Not going to happen. So already your plan is completely.
All right, hold on. With the draft picks, I'll take Devin White at number 6. We haven't had a great linebacker in forever. Take Cleveland Farrell at 17. Take a wide receiver at number the second round and trade for Josh Rosen. I think you'd be happy with that. And I want to know why you think Sam Darnold is an automatic franchise quarterback. Did you watch him against Ohio State in the Rose Bowl?
Did you watch him last year in a lot of games?
Yeah, I did. He had turnovers galore.
He's going to be listen, maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea, Greg. And thanks for the call. I think he's going to be a big-time NFL quarterback. He's mobile. He's got a good arm. He's a leader. I don't see a lot of negatives with Sam Darnold. I mean, is he a lock? Do I believe in Sam Darnold the way I believe in Pat Mahomes? No. But do I think he's going to be a really, at a minimum, a good quarterback? Yes, I do. I like him. He's really mobile. He can throw on the run. He's got a good arm. Here's what I would say to that. What is it that you didn't like about him? Now, his plan, draft the two defensive guys, trade for Josh Rosen. All right, you know what? I wouldn't be horrified by that. But I just don't know. I don't know what the plan is right now for this team. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. It's been rough for the Giants. It's rough. It's tough. And
it's not easy to be a Giants fan right now, James.
It's not. Like I said, you could always be an Islanders fan.
Oh, stop it. Please, stop it.
But I actually have a solution. I actually have the best case scenario for you, and this could make you smile. Now, I don't know if they'll do it. But
now, are you a Giants fan?
Yes, I am.
All right, so you're feeling the same pain that I'm feeling right now.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the best case scenario, and I If the Golden State signing, I'm like, I'm with you. I'm like, I have no idea why they did that. But here's the best case scenario. The Giants identify their guy, whether it's Haskins or Murray, they do what they can to get the guy. And then once they've identified, they get their quarterback, then all the things that they've done make sense because they have to get the quarterback. Because if you don't get it now, you're not going to be bad enough to stink. But, you know, because you got...
You might be. You don't know that, James. You might be.
I know, but I'm just saying. But then you're going to be wasting Barkley's prime years. So I'm just saying the best case scenario is to use the draft assets you got to try to trade up to two. Or moderate thing is you trade a second or third round pick for Rosen. Those are the two options you got. And
but here's the thing for me, James. Yep. And let me get your take on it as well. If I really thought that was the plan, I'd be fine. Would you be stunned if the Giants got to May 1 and these were their quarterbacks?
You were talking about Eli.
Yeah.
Eli.
Tanny, Loletta.
I actually would not.
Yeah. That is what terrifies me.
It is, man. Well, thanks for taking my call. And go Islanders, go, man.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, James. You know, we give the guy 2 minutes of airtime and he thinks he's a host now. He's screaming at the Islanders. Calm down. They're going to get into the postseason, though. Every time I watch them and I'm rooting against them, they find a way to win. Right? They've had a couple of big games lately. They win that game the other night against Montreal. Columbus, hard to stomach what the Islanders are doing. But my team stink. Stink. My best team right now is the Mets. Think of my sports life. When my best team, Georgetown, right on the bubble, needs to win against Seton Hall, they lose by 1,000. The game's over 4 minutes in. The Giants trading away their most talented players, no idea what they're doing, haven't been meaningful in years. The Rangers are sending out letters to whom it may concern. We will stink. Best regards, New York Rangers. The Knicks, I'm not even going to mention that one. Is there a plan in place? I hope so. Do they get those guys? I hope so. The Mets. The Mets are the best I have to offer. It's like I show up at a hostage negotiation and the bad guy's like, all right, what will you give us for Steve? And I take out like peanut shells. Here, can this get Steve? I've got nothing. Nothing. Jason in Brooklyn. Jason, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
What's up, Jay?
I'm a Jets fan. I take a little exception with what your assessment of the Jets. I think they've had four legitimate seasons in 50 years.
No.
So they've been pretty...
That's not fair. Come on. They've been to four AFC championship games in 50 years.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we've had.
No, that's not fair.
You can't say that they've been... No, they've been... Look, this is the Giants are in the situation now... paying for the two Super Bowls that you had with Eli.
No, that's not true. The Giants are in the situation right now that they're paying for the fact that Jerry Reese drafted like a fool, couldn't bring any real talent in here, and then spent hundreds of millions of dollars on guys that were good for a minute.
Exactly, but they still had – I would take that situation, and the Jets have lived through it. They're actually mirroring exactly the situation the Jets were in last year. I would take that situation, having won. They had gone through that and didn't win anything. So at least you've got Eli's got two Super Bowls. I know it's tough to swallow now.
Look, I'm not comparing the Jets to the Giants, all right? The Jets are a completely different animal. All I'm saying is, as a Giants fan who, since the early 80s, has been a very functional, well-run organization for the most part, this is a really tough time.
Absolutely. But how long could you be one of the best franchises in sport? I mean, even the Yankees have gone through their down. You've got to go through peaks and valleys, and I get it. The
but this is not a valley. I can't see the peak from where I am, but thanks to the call. I'm down in the valley, and I don't know. The peak is miles up there. Again, you tell me you're going to have a 5-win year, you'll get the quarterback, it'll turn around fine. I just had a 3-win year and a 5-win year, and I think it's going to get worse. Let's hear from Josina Anderson real quickly. 800-919-3776. She was on ESPN New York tonight with the great Larry Hardesty. Why did the Giants, why did this football team trade number 13, Odell Beckham Jr.?
I just think that Gettleman is executing a different plan that he has, and that may include ushering in younger talent that may have Eli Manning grooming other talent to start to transition and to have guys in that he is bringing in and take this team into his vision and his mold that is not kind of a carryover from, you know, the previous regime. Whether that amounts to additional wins, we'll see.
We'll see.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, and away we go. Stump Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. Now, Ty just got a taste of the genius because my wheelhouse, if you'd like to come into the wheelhouse, you're welcome. Where did a guy go to college in the NBA? Where did an NBA player go to college? Ty was asking me many of them in the commercial break. And Ty, it was overwhelming for you, wasn't it?
Yes, and of course, in Dave Rothenberg fashion, he's like, so why don't you go in that direction for Stump Rothenberg? Because he wants to avoid being stumped, which is not the point of the exercise.
Well, the point is maybe you could ask a very difficult one.
No, it's your wheelhouse. So
yeah, so you would admit that you don't want to go near the wheelhouse.
Yes, don't want to go near that.
That's coming, that's high and a little bit outside for Aaron Judge, and he just pokes it over that right field wall, right?
Absolutely.
You don't want any part of that.
No part of that at all.
No part of that. 800-919-3776. Stump Rothenberg. Remember, one question, one answer, we move on. Ty, I'm going to give you the option. Would you like to start or defer in Stump Rothenberg?
I will defer the coin toss and take it in the take possession
in the second half.
Second
that's
half.
What the good teams typically do. Very Belichickian of you. Well, let's go to Spike in Jersey, who loves this segment more than anything outside of his dogs in life. What's up, Spike?
My wife.
Yeah, and her too. All right, what do you got?
Okay, in the history of the NCAA, the most points scored in a career by one player is...
So I'm thinking Bill Bradley, but then I'm going to come back off of that. So you're thinking, so this is in the tournament?
No. In Korea, the NCAA, in the history of college basketball, who has scored the most points in a four-year career?
Oh, is it, I'm thinking Pistol Pete. Is the kid Clemens? I'm thinking it's Pete Maravich.
Is that your final answer?
I know Lionel Simmons is up there, too.
Oh, boy, you're really warm now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pistol Pete Maravich.
Lionel Simmons, incorrect answer.
Hang on a second. You're telling me that Lionel Simmons scored more points in college basketball than Pete Maravich?
That's what Basketball Reference is telling me.
I'd like to challenge it. Ty, I'd like you to look that up. I'd like to challenge.
You're allowed to challenge.
Ty's going to look it up. I got to move on. I say Pistol Pete Maravich. He says Lionel Simmons. So we appreciate the phone call, Spike. We're going to look that up. We're going to get an answer for you. I think Simmons is third or fourth. I do not believe that you are correct. So we will look that up and get the official answer. But before we do that, we'll go to Bill in Queens. Bill, you're on Stump Rothenberg. Bill?
Hello?
All right, forget about Bill. Let's go to Trey in Brooklyn. Trey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How'd you throw a flag on Uncle Spike, man? You can't throw a flag on Uncle
I think he's
Spike.
Wrong. I challenge him. I'd like to bring him to the Ring of Honor as one of the great Stump Rothenberg callers, but I don't think he's right. I think Pete Maravich has more points than the L-Train Lionel Simmons in college basketball history. Go ahead, Trey. What do you got?
Okay, what I have is the 1979 classic Fast Break. You recall?
Love that movie.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Go ahead.
What is the name of the school that Gabe Kaplan and Bernard King and Michael Warren go out to play for?
Cadwallader.
I hate you, Dave.
Because I'm genius. That's why. Because I'm genius. Bernard King was in that movie. Michael Warren was in that movie. That's why. This is what we do. Ty, do you have the correct answer on that yet? You can't figure out who scored the most points in college basketball history?
Actually, yes. I just found it. Pete Maravich is listed on this list as the number one scorer in college basketball.
Double check. But I'm very confident that we're sitting here at 2 for 2 right now.
So he's got it at points per game and at points total.
Well, that wasn't points per game. It was total points.
Yeah, I'm saying he's got it in both categories, points total and points per game.
All right. So I'm 2 for 2. We're confirming. I'd like you to say this. Dave, you were right. Spike was wrong.
Dave, you were correct. Spike just had, you know, a little moment.
Now, do you have an issue with someone calling with a question and being wrong with the answer?
Yeah, so that's what I try to do. I want to make sure we double check our work and we're giving the right information on that.
Terrible job by Spike. All right, are you up? Are you ready here?
All right, I'm ready here. So three players in NBA history have won the NBA MVP, the All-Star Game MVP, and Finals MVP. One of the players was a Knick. Who was the Knick?
Who was the Knick?
Who won NBA MVP, All-Star Game MVP, and Finals MVP.
Well, we know it's not going to be Patrick Ewing. All right, so I don't know. I'm thinking Willis Reed. That's the only one I can think of. I'll go with Willis Reed.
And that would be correct.
And that would be correct.
For bonus points, can you name the other two?
Magic Johnson.
Incorrect. Think greatest player ever.
Let's see, you and I might have a different take on that. You're going to go Michael Jordan.
That is correct. I mean, it's not a different take. It's the wrong take if you have anyone other than Michael Jordan as the greatest player ever. Shaquille O'Neal.
All right, let's go to Joe in Massapequa. Joe, you're on Stump.
I look at on this one. Who is the only Major League Baseball player ever to win the batting crown without a home run?
So this has to be forever ago. Only player to win a batting crown without hitting a home run. I'll say Rod Carew.
Oh, you got it, my man.
Oh, how about that? Tie.
So what I
do
love,
you understand what we're looking at right here?
Yeah, this is greatness. But what I love about what just happened, he came on and was so confident you were going to, quote unquote, strike out looking.
Right.
And you immediately got it.
Do you understand that we're 4 for 4?
This is brilliance.
Should we call it here?
No, we got to keep going.
But I mean, come on, this is genius level stuff.
Yeah, but we got to keep
challenging. People are calling up with looked up answers. I'm challenging them and getting it right.
Yeah, but we can't call it quits here. We can't. You got to keep going. It would be like
you don't want me to go perfect.
No, but it would be like if, you know, after winning in Cleveland, LeBron just said, you know what, I'll hang it up. You got to keep going.
Wayne and Beth Page, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, how's it going, man? I'll give you a choice. You want a Disney question or a beer question?
A beer question?
A beer question, yes, sir.
Or Disney?
Or Disney. I know you're a Disney guy, so
like,
I'll give you a
choice. I work at Disney. Like Disney movie kind of question?
Yeah,
like, am I going to get like princess question here?
No, it's regarding Disney history. So
I'll take that.
So, all right, I'll give you a Disney history. It's very straightforward. What was the first ever Disney fully animated movie? Fully animated feature film, the first one ever. You got this, Steve. You're perfect today.
I am perfect today. I see. I want to say Snow White.
Oh, my man!
Is that right?
That is correct, brother.
All right, Ty, are we calling it now?
We can call it now, but he has to allow you to kind of figure it out because you weren't sold yet. Like, it was just you throwing out a name. He's got to, he can't give it away
that
quickly.
You know what? Any good teammate would say, Dave, you're 5 for 5. I mean, you're in uncharted water. Great for you. Only you could find the negative.
I just feel like he caved too quickly.
Well, I thought it was Snow White, and I was kind of working through it, and then I was...
Yeah, but maybe if you continue to work through it, you work through it to the wrong answer. But since he caved so quickly, it eliminated that possibility.
Got too excited.
Right, so come on, you don't think I would... Brian, you know that what I'm doing is we've never seen before.
This is unbelievable right now.
So are we done here, Ty?
I think we're done.
We're done. Brian, do you have a question?
I think we're done. Let's keep it like this.
All right. And that is, this is the first time in the history of Stump Rothenberg it's ever been perfect. 5 for 5. Unprecedented. What's today's date? March 16, 2019. Remember where you are at this very moment. Because years from now, in the history books, they will ask you about this very day.
Maybe this will be a stump whoever question.
That's right. The next incarnation of the stump generation will be asked a question about this.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Our long guest, the great RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
Well, to be honest with you, there was a divide growing up. Now, we grew up in the 80s.
I'm going to say you were Dave guy.
Hold the phone. I grew up, you know, so I was 10 years old in 1980, 20, 1990. So right in the middle of the 80s. Mm-hmm. But it was almost like the TV show Freaks and Geeks, where we were 10 years behind. Like whatever, or Dazed and Confused might be a little like that too, the movie. So what we weren't really thinking, do you like The Cure? Do you like The Pixies? Do you like Van Halen? Do you like Motley Crue? It was Zeppelin, Stones, Beatles. So there was a few forward-thinking guys that were embracing Van Halen. I was stuck right with Zeppelin. And quite frankly, I still am.
Wait, so you were not a Van Halen guy?
Nah, it was a little all too showy for me.
Oh, come on.
Not enough intellect, just a lot of show.
Wow.
Like some football teams.
You think you know a guy, and then something like this comes down the pike. it's shocking. You and I have a lot of time to spend and a lot to get into as well. 800-919-3776. But you're clamoring, and I don't want to be the one that holds it from you. This 98.7 ESPN Hoops Update brought to you by Jake's 58 Hotel Casino, where the all-new Lucky North Club is your way to simple rewards and epic moments. Join today for free and ask about the new member free play bonus. Gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. America East underway. Vermont up 2-0 on UMBC. North Carolina out to Duke last night. So it's Duke and Florida State tonight at 8:30 on ESPN in the ACC Championship. And in the Big East, right down the road at Madison Square Garden, Villanova, Seton Hall, 6:30 at MSG. So what's going on, my friend?
Well, Villanova, just early numbers we can have, 4.5, favorite in that game.
Yep, and Duke's a big number tonight.
Duke's up favored by 8 in that game. And if you look at Zion, one of the big conversations, I think, he's become one of the most valuable college players in the last decade, if not the most valuable. 7-8 points a game, it looks like he was worth.
And worth every point, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's how we price it. I mean, let me ask you, where would you rank if Zion decided tomorrow, hey, I'm not going to play in the tournament, do you make Duke a top what?
No.
I mean, are they the top 6 team, 7 no. team, 8 team?
No, 10.
So, and they're clearly number one with them.
I actually don't think they're going to win, but I guess odds-wise, yes, they're number one.
So, quite the valuable player.
He's unbelievable. Now, do you remember the conversation we had last week?
I do.
You said you would bet that he does not return, and I took the other way and said he will come back.
Well, first off, you and I did not bet. I said I had bet getting 4-1 odds that he wouldn't come back. See, Dave, this is one of those things you're going to have to learn. It's only been 6 or 7 months.
It's all about value, isn't it?
It's all about, excuse me, percentage.
Are you okay today? I feel like you might not be at 100%.
You know, I actually missed Wednesday and Thursday of my show, came back Friday. Now, you think I could say, maybe I'll miss it. No, that's not the way I do it. I'm here. You might hear, I sound a little more, you know, The Godfather came out 47 years ago yesterday. Sounds a little more like Vito after the assassination attempt.
Unlike your just disdain for Van Halen, The Godfather, you would admit, is one of the great movies.
Admit? I mean, it's kind of like my guiding force. I would say the book itself, though. The movie is amazing. And it's a rare case where, as a piece of art, the movie is better than the book, but the book has so much more in it. You learn a lot of backstories and a lot of internal dialogue about what the Godfather's thinking, and it's helped me make a few business decisions.
Now, I had a call earlier who was asking me about the 1979 classic Fast Break. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, that's a Bill Simmons favorite. Yes.
And here's the question that was asked to me. Because we were doing a little Stump Rothenberg segment, which I hate to brag, I was That was genius today. I was Hall of Fame numbers. I didn't miss one.
So just to be clear, your call screener decides who gets to ask you what question.
Right. But he, no one would like to see me fail more than Ty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, he is very anti me succeeding in anything, really, and specifically in this segment. And and you'll know the answer. It was a good question, too. What was the name of the school that they went to, Bernard King and Gabe Kaplan were at in Fast Break?
Oh, I would not know that.
I got it right. Cadwallader.
That's strong.
Yeah.
That is strong. I mean, when's the last time you've seen that movie?
Probably about 10 years, but I've probably seen it at least 5 times.
I got to be honest. I'm impressed.
I mean, Michael Warren was in that movie.
I mean, I hear that it was a movie. But you do realize if you went on the street right now and randomly asked even guys, right, understanding gals aren't going to like a basketball movie as much, that less than probably 15% of guys would even know the movie.
Yeah,
existed.
I would agree. Well, first of all, it's 79, so it takes away a lot of people.
So somehow you know the high school?
Well, it was a college. It was a small college out in California.
That's what I'm
Gabe
saying.
Gabe Kaplan picked up and moved out there with his wife, started recruiting, and yeah.
I mean,
also, another
impressive.
very good movie was One-on-One. You ever see that?
Now that one, oh,
with
man,
Robbie
that,
Benson?
I made me drop out of basketball. I figured I'm not taking those elbows like that. No, I loved One-on-One. That was great.
All right, so let's get back to a little college basketball right now. So the prohibitive favorite with a healthy Zion Williamson in the tournament starting on, I guess, Tuesday, Wednesday, but really on Thursday is Duke.
Yeah, Duke's in that 230 range. Now, here's the question. We actually debated this. Before Zion got hurt, Duke was in the plus 180 range. So 100 wins you 180. Now 100 wins you 230. Do you think net-net Duke is better from today's perspective or better from the perspective of the day before Zion got hurt? Now, here's the two angles. On one hand, Zion seems to be better than we thought. The rest of the team seems to be worse than we thought, meaning the effect Zion's absence had was greater than we expected. When you net it out, did Duke get better or worse over this time?
They look like a flawed team to me, to be honest with you. They don't shoot the ball well from deep. They don't score in the fast break. They are solely, and listen, it's a great, you know, fallback plan, but they are Zion, Barrett, Reddish centric. So, and I was talking to someone earlier on the show who said, we've really only seen one team being completely led by freshmen who have gone and won the whole thing, and that's the Anthony Davis 2012 Kentucky team.
And he would probably be the last guy at this level. I mean, if we had like a throw everyone in a draft from 2000 on, is it LeBron, Davis, Zion at this point?
At the time of the draft?
Yes.
Probably.
So,
LeBron, probably.
So it kind of speaks to, and I think it's a great narrative. If Zion is an all-timer, then he can carry him. And if he isn't, this Duke team probably is not good enough.
Are we doing any kind of a wager? You against me? Or
anytime I'm speaking, there's a potential wager.
All right, so are we going to do a bracket challenge between my show and you?
I don't think you
want to
do that. I don't think you want to do that.
I'd love to do something.
Well, why don't you talk to your, so somehow I'm guessing because the big check came in, there's no mention of it.
The big check came in, Canty has it. I don't understand how it works. He can't deposit it because his foundation.
Who knows what is going on with his foundation? I mean, I put it on the video. I thought, you know, listen, $5,000, I'm going to do some cursory research. I hit the About Us and it went to a 401 page. I mean, it was like, this does not exist. I still believed them, but He needs a,
I've been to the openings of playgrounds. It's a legitimate foundation.
Right. And again, that's why the 5,000 went out. And that's why, unfortunately, I got took like I did. In hindsight, it's one of my great regrets. But again, next year it's double or nothing, and we'll see if he stands up and does it, or if he sits down at 6'8" and crouches down in his little chair and says no. We'll see.
It's easy to have this kind of conversation when you're in Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you were sitting in the studio, you wouldn't be making fun of him like that.
If I was, I would have my attorney with me, just to be documenting everything contemporaneously.
Shooting it video style, as you said these things to him.
But I think a bracket would be fun, actually.
So you want to go me against you, or you want to involve those two guys?
I think we got to involve those two.
All right. So we'll involve those two guys. But I'm telling you right now that we will not have Duke winning the whole thing.
Really? Well, yep. Again, now listen, because we won't talk again to this specific audience until the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think what has to happen now is that you have to join us on Thursday morning before the tournament starts.
You know, I'll defer, but my gut feeling is Wednesday. Most people have their brackets in before Wednesday, or before end of day Wednesday. And what we do is I've got 11 rules, and Dave, all joking aside, these are super valuable. Where if you just follow these 11 rules, then and I don't have
now. Will you give them to us on the air today?
Absolutely. Right. Today?
Yeah, no, right now.
I don't have them all updated for this year, but I'll give you the general rules, and then I can give you the updated numbers. But what, you know, the things like don't have a team worse than a 4 seed win it. You know, it's
right?
Like
30 don't have all 4 ones going to the final four. Always have a 12 beating a 5. Right? Kind of those rules.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where history says that the math backs it up because it's been the same. If you forget the playing games, which in a way you can, and start with 64 on Thursday, it really is something where we've got 30 plus years of history.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
RJ, this is the second time in like the last month that you've been sick.
You know something? It's I don't know if I just fight it off, and then during football and it happens or what. You're right. I hate getting sick. I get sick probably twice a year. And it's like a 5 or 6 day kind of thing for me.
This is Vegas flu is what we call it.
Wow, that's a whole different thing. Now, not only do I have the favorites for you, but I got a prop bet that I'm a part of, and I want to see which side you want.
All right, we'll do that in a second. Let's give the 98.7 ESPN Hoops update brought to you by PointsBet.com. Get in on the action with PointsBet.com, the sports book you've been waiting for and preferred partner of Darrell Revis, Allen Iverson, and thousands more each day. PointsBet stays sharp. America East final already underway on ESPN2. Vermont up 16-9 on last year's darling of the tournament, UMBC. Florida Auburn coming your way at 1 o'clock. Wisconsin Michigan State semifinals of the Big Ten. The Atlantic 10 over at Barclays, Rhode Island, and St. Bonaventure. Tennessee Kentucky at 3:30, semifinal of the SEC as well. Wichita State Cincinnati coming your way later. Iowa State Kansas final of the Big 12. Seton Hall, Nova at 6:30 at the Garden for the championship of the Big East. And then at 8:30, Zion and Duke on ESPN take on Florida State, where just for RJ's purposes, Duke is a 8.5-point favorite of the ACC championship. All right, what's your question?
Okay, so here's the odds to win the title, and then I'll give you the prop bet. I won't tell you which side I'm on.
Okay.
So right now, Duke, as we said, is in that plus 225 range. 100 wins you 225. Gonzaga, plus 450.
That's
in that
two.
Range.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Virginia, 6-1.
Wow.
North Carolina, 10-1. Michigan State, 10-1. Tennessee, 10-1. Kentucky, 10-1. Those are the favorites. Now, one concept important to remember is teams that have a lot of young players don't blend their whole season stats, because a Kentucky is a much different team in March than they are in
right.
November. So keep those young teams in mind. Now, my opponent, or one of us will say, got every other team in the country except for five teams. And the five teams, The other, oh, I'm sorry, except for four teams.
All right.
And the other four teams were.
So one of you has four teams and the other one gets every other team.
Exactly.
Okay.
The four teams are Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Gonzaga. Now, hold on. Hold on. The guy that got every other team, he actually gets 4-1 odds.
Really?
Yeah, so would you rather have four teams laying minus 400? So let's say you bet in the actual bet.
No, I understand. So if I'm getting I'm getting 64 teams really, cuz I get the ones on Tuesday as well, right? Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yes, yes, yeah. Any team but.
So I'm getting 64 teams as opposed to 4, and with my 64 teams I'm getting 4-1 odds.
Exactly. But
okay. Now give me the four teams again. It's Duke,
North Carolina, Kentucky, Gonzaga.
I'd take the 4-1.
Yeah, that's what I did. That's the bet, though. That is, but boy, isn't it? It's a close call, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so you get Virginia.
Yeah.
And Michigan State.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. I don't think they're great this year, but you get Kansas. You get Houston.
So that's the thing. There's some team. That's the thing people don't realize. There's not a ton of. Real true Cinderellas that make it to the finals or win it, but there are a bunch of like the 3 and 4 seeds you wouldn't have necessarily picked that end up making the Final Four and winning it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Duke's going to win it. I'll root for them because I like them and I love Coach K, but I don't think they're going to win it. I don't think North Carolina's going to win it. I like Gonzaga a lot, and I don't believe Kentucky's going to win it. So the team that I think you really have to look out for you is Gonzaga, because I think they're a terrific basketball team. Even though they didn't win the West Coast Conference, they're a terrific basketball team.
And what makes you think that Duke, is it just one of these feelings about Duke?
I don't think Duke shoots the ball well enough to win. I don't think that they shoot the ball well enough, and they turn the ball over, and they're not a great foul shooting team, and all the things that you would expect, you know, heavy favorites to do. I mean, they're great. Right, but their point guard's not a traditional point guard where he's going to sit outside the 3-point line. You saw the way Carolina played him last night. They're a terrific team, and I'm not saying they can't win it, but Carolina just they defended the low block and you know inside the paint area, and they let Duke shoot the ball from distance. And I don't know that they can do that game after game after game in the tournament.
Now you just made an interesting point. You could make the case that a team would be favored over any other team in a given game, but you don't like them to win the tournament.
Exactly.
Do you?
They will be favored in every game they play.
No, but what I'm saying is Duke would be favored against any team in the country.
Yeah, they'll be favored in any game they play in the tournament.
But somehow they're not the team with the best chance to win the tournament.
In my mind, no.
You do understand that's mathematically incongruent.
Incongruent all you want. I don't think they're going to win the championship.
Fair enough.
All right, let's go to Joe in Wyckoff. Joe, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, RJ, thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Dave, I didn't hear your whole intro on the tournament, but I believe you mentioned that Kentucky was the last team in 12 with the freshmen to win it. You can't forget about that Duke team with Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow,
right.
Tyus Jones.
And who were the other two starters on that team?
Well, I think Allen came off the bench, but when you have three freshmen, that's mostly freshmen, right?
Cook was the starting two guard, was a senior, and Emile Jefferson, if you remember, was a junior power forward on that team.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I didn't realize you were talking about all five guys being freshmen.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to say about Duke is I'm 100% in your camp. In this day and age, the inability to shoot the three, I think, will take a team down. But keep in mind, when you talk about Duke, and I'm surprised you guys haven't mentioned it, Duke thrives on their defense, their ability to create turnovers, and get points in transition. So a team that can beat Duke, and you mentioned the Gonzaga-St. Mary's game, would be a team like St. Mary's. Keep the score low, don't turn the ball over, and force them to shoot from three. I'm with you there completely.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Joe. I just don't think that they're going to win six games. And I'll tell you this, RJ. Gonzaga is a terrific team. And the only true loss, if you want to play this game, that Duke had this year where they were fully healthy was against Gonzaga?
No, I agree with that, but let me ask you this. Do you feel like the Zion shoe incident helped or hurt Duke? Meaning if Duke had just kept playing with Zion versus what happened.
I think that could wind up being a positive because other guys needed to get time that they ordinarily wouldn't have gotten. So that in a big moment, you may get production from like last night they did Vrankovic or Jordan Goldwire, one of these kids.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I also think it kept the story interesting. I think what you hear oftentimes with these teams that don't face adversity is at some point, it's almost like the human mind craves a little adversity. So you do something to put yourself in a tough spot. Well, Duke's already been in a tough spot.
Yep. So can we turn our attention to the NFL a little bit?
Absolutely.
I mean, who's favorite to win the AFC North right now?
So this is interesting. We put these numbers out right after the trade, and as other numbers have come out and other numbers have been bet, it's pretty much settled right around our initial numbers. So we were right on this one. We've got the Browns as a slight favorite. And the way we looked at it was over under wins. How many wins do you expect on the season?
Can I guess what they would be?
Yes, absolutely. So four teams start.
All right, I'm gonna start with the fourth. I'm gonna say Cincinnati is fourth, and I'm gonna say their over under is 6.5.
Six was our number.
All right,
so we're right there.
I'm gonna say Baltimore's next, and I'm gonna say their over under is 8.5.
Well, again, Dave, you're pretty good at this. We've got Baltimore at 8.5.
Wow. I'm going to go Steelers are next up, and I'm going to put their over-under at 9.
Trick question. Steelers also at 8.5. Now, we do have them slight. Now, again, one way that they do it is it might be like 8.5 over -120. You know, Steelers would be slightly above the Ravens, but we're talking an effective tie.
And then Cleveland, I'm going to put their over-under at 9.5.
Nine.
Did pretty well there, though.
Oh, my gosh. Excellent. But remember, there's only about four or five teams a season that have over 9 wins projected. So even the Browns being at 9 is putting them in that tier of the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th best team.
And then if you're going to bet the Browns to go over 9, they got to win 10 games.
Yeah, but if not, 9's a push, right?
So right. Whenever,
yeah. So,
but to win the bet, they have to be the Browns, who won 0 games 2 years ago, have to win 10 games or more to win that bet.
Correct.
Unbelievable. Because you know right now that the public is going to fall in love with betting on Cleveland this year.
Oh, well, listen, there were certain sports books last year that had the Browns as their biggest exposure, that they got the most money. Listen, we love, and the NBA draft is a good example of this. Humans love to dream on potential, right? It's like I've always said and I'll use the parlance of the city, for all those with gumas out there, all right, just close your eyes for a second, unless you're driving, and imagine if the wife was the goom and the goom was at home. And it truly were the case, you'd probably like the wife better. It's just if you're familiar, take out the garbage, same thing, same routine. Well, think about the NBA draft, right? When you got a guy that's doing layups against chairs, all of a sudden it's like, oh, my man, look how tall he is. Do you see the way he moved around that chair? But if you got a guy that you got 3 years on in college, you can say, remember that game in February 2 years ago? It's just we get so familiar with these teams. What are the Browns? You're dreaming. You're dreaming on, not dreaming as in it's impossible. It's your imagination. Because really this team has not, you could say, well, after they fired so-and-so for 5 games, their DVOA was, come on. The Browns haven't done anything that matters yet.
But nothing.
But
they haven't even really played in a meaningful football game yet.
But you've got a lot of imagination there, and people love to bet it.
Well, let's be honest here. And you break down players with us every week. Have you ever seen a team with better skill position players ever than what Cleveland has right now in this season? I mean, you have Mayfield, who everyone loves. You have Duke Johnson, Nick Chubb, and when he comes back from suspension, Kareem Hunt. You've got Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. I mean, it's
You know something? I'm probably going to be in the minority here. I would make the following case. Now listen before you react.
You're going to go Steelers because you're Steelers.
Well, I know the Steelers. I mean that's not even a question. Because the question here is depth. My point is on that whole list, other than OBJ, could the case be made that not one of those players is a top 10 player at his position?
No, Kareem Hunt is.
Is he?
When he comes back and is healthy, yeah. You don't think
really?
Kareem Hunt was it? Yes.
I don't know if that's super clear to me. I think he's in that range. I think, but if someone said he was 9 and someone else said he was 10, you think there'd be a huge, like, oh, no, he cannot be 10. I mean, he's in that 10 range, I agree. And he's not even playing. So except for him.
All right, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what the Browns are going to be this year. It's going to be potential.
But what I'm saying is it's a super deep team of really good players, but not even beginning a great. And let's be honest. At quarterback, you've got a guy that literally could be the 25th best quarterback in the NFL. I mean, what odds would you give me? I mean, you're an ESPN guy. We'll go by QBR. Would you give me 10-1 odds that Baker Mayfield won't be 25th or worse in QBR?
I'll give you 6-1.
6-1.
Yeah.
How's this? I rarely do this. I usually take the number I ask for. We'll split the difference. 8-1.
8-1 odds that he's, so if he's 25th, who wins?
25th or worse means 25th or worse.
All right. So if he's 25th, you win. If he's 24th or better, I win.
Yes. 8-1. Now the fact that you're debating this so long.
No, I would do
if
that.
If I said that about Tom Brady, I'll flip that bet and take it.
Wait, no, I'm not. Brady's going to be top 24.
That's what I'm saying. So what we're saying here is there's real Baker Mayfield question marks.
For you, I like him.
Well, you might like him, but you're not willing to insta-bet that he's not going to be one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm not supposed to gamble. That's why I posted the whole thing.
Somehow that $5,000 check should come back to me then.
Listen, that wasn't my bet at all. 800-919-3776.
Hey, for those out there, this is why gambling gets to the heart of it. Mr. T used to talk about jibber jabber, but when it's just a constant, hey, do you want to bet? Do you want to bet? You'll see. And again, Dave actually is the kind of guy that really believes his opinions, and I trust that. But the normal talk shows where they're just saying things to say them, oh, I would love to get on those shows because it shuts them up because no one wants to bet because they don't believe what they're saying.
Well, here's my concern with this.
No, I'm saying you generally do believe what you're saying.
No, I do. But let for argument's sake, we bet whatever. You know, I don't know what you're normal. Now, if we're renting $500, if I lose, I owe you $4,000. I don't want to owe you $4,000.
Hey, listen, that's why it's fun. If you didn't feel any pain, what would be the point?
You love to be the guy that gets the odds. It's taken me a little bit of time to figure it out, but you want to get the odds rather than lay the odds.
That is true.
Yeah.
And there's a book called, not to get too technical, but it's such a great book. It's called The Black Swan. And it talks about how unlikely events are much more likely than the human mind thinks. And that's why usually the best bettors are underdog bettors because everyone, like I'll give you an example. If I asked you to describe instant adjective, what are the odds, likelihood, not a number, but an adjective, of Golden State winning the title this year? What would
you
say?
Why don't we do this? Why don't we chew on this for a minute, take a quick break, come back. We'll talk Giants over-unders, their odds, and we'll talk about adjectives, verbs, pronouns, adverbs, the whole nine yards.
Sounds good.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, RJ, we got like 2 minutes, but give me your word association game we were playing, and then let's talk about the Giants.
Well, I was just asking, how would you describe the chance of Golden State winning the title?
Close to a guarantee.
All right, well, the odds are really like 30% that they won't. So it just gives you an example of how the human mind looks at things and feels like, oh, that's almost a sure thing. It's really not. By the way, since I barely promote anything ever, I should say this quickly.
Please.
At the Hard Rock, Thursday night, Friday night, here in Vegas, 10 o'clock, we're doing 2 live podcasts right when the games are over in the vinyl room. seats 300, and we're just going to spend like 2 hours going over what happened the next day, 300 seats only, same room Dice Man plays in. So kind of an honor that they're hosting this at the Hard Rock this Thursday, this Friday.
Big time stuff. You're going to come out with us Wednesday, and you'll give that to us again, and we'll do our wager, you know, with the guys.
Absolutely. Anything for you, Dave.
And Giants over under. What's their number right now?
What do you think their number should be?
5.
Over under is 6. Washington Redskins is 6. Dallas 8.5. Philadelphia 9.5. By the way, only two teams are worse than 6 in the NFL.
Cardinals,
Arizona,
Dolphins,
Miami.
Mm-hmm. Great.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.